Hi there, I'm Billy.
I'm Stu.
Still Stu?
Indeed.
Excellent. And we like to watch the podcast where we talk about all things we've been watching over the week, from movies to TV and everything in between. This week, we are at Dendy Cinema to watch...
Raw.
The movie Raw. Not Raw. I tweeted earlier that we were going to go watch Raw, and someone assumed we were watching the wrestling. Monday Night Raw.
Or a cinematic thing of Eddie Murphy's.
Yes.
Stand-up.
Yes, which is great. I recently re-watched that.
Yeah, how's it hold up? Back.
The humour is dated, but yeah. the jokes are dated, but yeah. It's still very raw. So yeah, this is episode 43. And whose turn is it this week to do the...
Yours.
Mine. Okay, it's my turn to do the intro
this
week.
Mine was the Brady Bunch, Fast and the Furious... Yes. Inspired number last week.
Excellent. All right, without further ado, here is the intro. Hello all, this is Billy. I have the flu this week, and I sound like Kathleen Turner. This is We Like to Watch. We're watching Raw. I can't think of much else. We like to watch. I'll think of something better in 2 episodes' time. I love you guys. We like to watch. You have a look of disappointment.
No, I feel that's about your 19th, like, cop-out. Like, I'm sick. We like to watch. No, it's fine. I gave you a perfectly... For the listeners, I gave you a perfect option to do Raw to the tune of War.
Oh,
think about it. Raw.
Now
I want to
go back and redo it.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
No, all right, now I'm going to...
Sing it
out! I'm okay. It's fine. I'm not going to go back and redo it.
No, that's fine.
Excellent.
Some like to do it well, then there's you. It's all right.
No, whatever. Fine. Also, we're celebrating a year of doing this.
Yay. What'd you get me?
What did you get me?
No, he asked for it. I'll tell you what I got you after you tell
my
me.
My presence. That's what I got. Mm. What did you get me?
I guess it's the thought that counts. Oh, I got you this episode. I gave you War as a great intro song.
Anyway, so on to some news and trailers.
Yeah.
So this week, Netflix have sort of let slip, well not let slip,
we go.
Have revealed that they are doing a Carmen Sandiego animated TV show.
Cool.
Yes.
That's the biggest news you want to talk about?
I'm leading up to.
You want to bury the lead?
No, I'm leading up to, you know, start.
No, Carmen Sandiego. Yeah. That's...
Start with the small and then lead up to it. Yeah, and so it's not going to be released till 2019.
Oh, so 2 years. 2 years
away. It's going to star Gina Rodriguez from Jane the Virgin, who will be playing Carmen, and Finn Wolfhound, who is Mike from... Stranger Things?
No.
Yeah, he's going to be playing, doing the role of the player.
Cool.
Yes.
I have no idea what, like, that's going to be about, but...
Anyway, if you're a fan of the show, on to...
Fan of the show? What, has it already been a show?
Yeah,
or a game?
Well, it's originally a video game. It was made into a cartoon. I think mid-90s or late-90s?
Yowzers.
Yeah. But it was a really good TV show.
Okay.
It's a cartoon one.
I'm with you.
So, there was another trailer for Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep.
The fifth one.
Yep.
This was a Japanese trailer, and I always find this interesting how there's more stuff in the international Japanese trailers or the Chinese trailers that are in the American one. It's like they tease more in those ones, and they do the...
Or they're not. Maybe they're...
Well, in this Japanese trailer...
Maybe there are areas that aren't as sensitive to spoilers as we are.
Yeah, well, the Japanese trailer shows a bit of Keira Knightley, yeah. So I didn't even know she was going to be
in
it.
No one did.
Yeah.
And it's out in a couple of months. Why, like...
I know, it's very strange. But yeah, look, I mean, I haven't even watched the previous two.
Neither have I.
Yeah, so I don't know. Well, not previous two, sorry, the previous one. Wait, has there been...
This is the fifth.
Yeah, I haven't seen four.
Yeah, I haven't either have I. That was...
Now on to some Disney news, since Disney owns both companies. Actually, three companies, because we're going to be talking about something else. Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck have been tasked with directing the upcoming upcoming Captain Marvel film. And you're a fan of this because I think you know the two people, the directors?
No, well, just randomly. One of the guys I work with gave me Half Nelson to watch because I've just never caught it, the Ryan Reynolds film. That was directed by Ryan Fleck, but written by Anna Boden. So they're obviously a good...
And you haven't watched it yet?
No, I literally got it yesterday. But they also had... Ryan Fleck directed Mississippi Grind. It came out last year, the year before. It had Ryan Reynolds and Ben Mendelsohn, which looked interesting.
Interesting.
I didn't really appreciate you. So some of the blowback already was online going, oh, Disney or Marvel, you promised you'd have a female director for this, and what, now you have to put a guy and a girl because you don't trust a woman by herself? And it's like, can everyone just calm down?
Aren't they a writing team?
Well, yeah. Like, do we really think, like, Disney at this stage or Marvel would say, oh, we don't trust you with the keys. Let's give you a man to go. Like,
I don't think Disney
there's
like
more,
that.
Surely there's more to it than that. Like, I just hate this layer of, like, shit we put on, like, this narrative we put on announcements.
The world and the internet is an angry place.
We just have no... it just pisses me off.
Apologies. Going to be coughing during this episode. Will Smith is apparently being looked at to play the role of the genie in the live-action version of the Disney, of Aladdin. Yes, I know. I felt the same way. Look, it's not that he's not funny. He is funny.
He's great.
He's
funny. He might lighten up a bit. But I wonder if it'd be like a mocap sort of
but
thing.
But I don't know. Like, he's not Robin Williams funny.
Yeah, but it's going to have to be its own thing.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's the thing. It has to be in its own thing. But I still haven't seen any of the live-action version of the film, Disney films.
I saw Jungle Book and I saw Beauty and the Beast. I didn't check it. I saw a little bit of Cinderella and I sort of turned it off because I wasn't overly wild. And I love that cartoon. Mm.
That's interesting. Now, onto some trailers. Since you're... you're hanging by the mouth. We'll talk about a little trailer for a movie called a little like indie film called Star Wars: The Last Jedi.
Yes.
The trailer came out for it.
Yep.
During Star Wars Celebration.
Yep.
Trailers for a few things at Star Wars Celebration. There was Last Jedi. There was sort of teaser, the trailer for the new season of Rebels.
Yep.
And there was also a trailer for
Battlefront
2. But we'll just focus on Last Jedi. What did you think?
It's good. It doesn't have any wow moments.
I noticed that.
Other than to say, like, I had a conversation with someone today and he goes, did you see the Last Jedi trailer? I was like, yeah, I really liked it. He goes, yeah, didn't do anything for me. And I said,
do you want to reveal?
No, and I said, like, are you going to watch Last Jedi? He goes, yeah, 100%. I'll be there. What's it matter what the trailer is? He goes, oh, well, I just want a little tease. And I'm like...
But that was a tease.
All it was a trailer that said, this is coming in 6 months. Everyone chill. It's all the people you know.
Exactly.
It looks about the same.
Exactly.
Except, there's one thing I want to look to see if it's filmed. I wonder if it's shot digitally or shot on film. Because it didn't...
Was the first one shot on film?
Film, yeah. It didn't have... It was a sort of more of a richness to the first one that... Mm. I don't know, like, I'm not that savvy on the technical side, but I'd be interested to just know how they're shooting this one.
Yeah.
No, everyone's there. It answers no questions. And, hey, luckily we've got a movie that's going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Got some cool stuff. And some ships going across a red... Like, kicking up red dust. And we've got some Kylo
Ren. Have the light. We have the dark. We have the middle.
They've got maybe Luke's not all he's cracked up to be. Maybe
Luke's a little bit crazy, sort of like Yoda.
Yeah.
I got that sense.
Oh, yeah. Like, and everyone's saying that as well, going, oh, it's just Empire. And you're like, why? Based on what? Because we've got someone training.
Because it's like, the middle one. It's not it's not like Clone Wars was Empire. Like,
no, I don't know.
I think the people saying that the Empire thing is because people kind of thought that the first one was
so close to New Hope. Yeah. But the other thing is, it's like, there's no Chewy, I'm home. There's no big fist pumping moments. But this trailer has to do something very different to what like The Force Awakens one.
Yeah, I'm
that
curious.
Set the table.
Yeah, because didn't Chewie flew with her, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm curious. We'll find out because, yeah. I mean, it's filmed straight away.
Yeah, it does. It starts straight
away.
Yeah.
Well, they also mentioned at Celebration that even though it's going to be filmed straight after, there's heaps of shit that's happened in between the two films. And apparently the crawl is going to be quite long. It's going to be at least two paragraphs, even though there's two or three paragraphs, even though there has been, like, not much time.
Yeah, that's all right.
So it'll be interesting.
I'll probably see it.
Yes. I'll probably see it. You're going to see it.
Maybe, yeah.
I'll make you see it.
Maybe. I might be there. I'll make time for it.
Okay. Sticking with sort of Disney, the trailer for the Cloak & Dagger TV series came out. Looked interesting.
What is Cloak & Dagger?
So Cloak & Dagger, look, in the Marvel comics, Cloak & Dagger are sort of like teenage, young adult heroes. Cloak is pretty much, he has sort of, it's a person of African-American descent. And he has his power. He's like, he has an actual cloak on.
Okay.
And he can teleport and teleport things and drag it into his cloak. And Dagger has sort of like light-based powers and sends like daggers of light. And it's almost like, you know, he's the darkness, she's the light sort of thing. And they've always been a couple as well.
Oh.
So, yeah, I don't know how they're going to treat it. I don't know.
So
if it's
is this
just going to be...
Netflix series?
No, it's going to be on Freeform. I'm not sure. Who knows? Maybe it might be on Netflix.
Yep.
Although knowing the non-Marvel stuff is usually... The non-Marvel stuff. That's the thing. I don't even know if this is a non-Marvel Marvel film.
Oh, okay. Or like a Legion.
TV series. Yeah.
Okay.
So, who knows? It might be on Stan.
Yeah.
Hopefully not on Foxtel.
Mm.
Jumping across to the other comic book company, the... trailer will appear for a little bit. The trailer for David Goyer's long talked about Superman prequel series called Krypton. The trailer for that appeared briefly, and it was taken down. I'm not sure why. I still don't like. I get the whole letting stuff leak because it's a tease and whatnot, but. What's the point?
Where's it set on Krypton?
It's set on Krypton. It's going to be about, I guess, Kal-El, Clark Kent's grandfather. And it's done by Sci-Fi. Now, in recent years, Sci-Fi has been known for lots of doing great shows.
Yeah.
But some of them have been not the greatest of quality. In the recent years,
yeah,
they've increased, like,
drop some
not
cash
doing,
into it.
Like, 20 million things, doing... a few series and a few movies and make the quality be better.
Did they have the new Battlestar Galactica on Sci-Fi? Maybe.
I think so, yeah. This seems not the greatest of quality just by the trailer. It seems to be...
not the greatest of like quality because it's got the name David Goyer attached to it.
Look, I mean, I don't know. Look, we posted it on our Facebook page. It disappeared. So, look, if it comes up again, we'll post it again.
And again.
There was also a teaser for the Kingsman sequel, The Golden Circle.
Yeah,
essentially what it was the trailer, but sped up. So came across like a teaser. So a 3-minute trailer made into a minute.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of people have slowed it down and screenshot stuff and trying to find. So I'm not sure why they did it like that. And
that'll be dropping soon then.
Yeah, that'll be dropping soon.
Is that out this year? Must be.
Yeah, it must be. If it looked finished.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I guess if they're dropping a trailer now.
Mm. Now, I saw a trailer for a movie, for a Sofia Coppola film that we've talked about, but I don't know if you saw the trailer for the Beguiled.
Yeah, this is the Colin Farrell one.
Yeah.
I've seen a trailer before.
Okay.
Is there a new one?
There was a new trailer. Well, there was a trailer that got released recently.
This is one with Colin Farrell and Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a trailer. Okay. I don't...
So that got released. It's a remake of... I can't remember who did the first film, but it. There was another film made of this.
Ah, cool.
And it's about... I think it's set in the...
Yeah, it's like a northern... It's during the Civil War, doesn't it?
Yeah, American Civil War.
A northern fighter gets injured and he's on a southern plantation.
Yeah, and they sort of look after him, but...
sexual awakenings happen when he's around
the ladies. With the ladies, and also
which happens
like,
wherever Colin Farrell goes anyway. So it's,
well, like, yeah, Colin Farrell isn't who he makes out to be, and sort of the people of the house aren't who they make out to be as well. So it looks to be a bit, yeah, full on.
And mystery ensues.
So yeah, that's all I have.
That's about it for.
Yeah, so we will now talk about what we've watched this week. What have you watched?
What have you watched?
I have watched.
Don't you worry about what I've watched. You worry about what you've watched.
I've watched the last few episodes of DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay.
The season's finished. It was a good. So basically what it was, this season, they're trying to find. So there's two opposing. So there's the good guys. There's also a group of bad guys as well that have been in the various CW super shows.
Uh-huh.
And they're trying to find the Spear of Destiny and put it together because then they can rewrite reality.
Yep.
And so this... Legends
quite
are trying...
sought after little trinket.
Yeah, and so the Legends are trying to stop them. Now...
As we would expect them to do.
Yeah, the final episode was very balls to the wall, sort of trying everything... going crazy at once, which is kind of cool, but it feels like I enjoyed the episode, but it's one of those.
So who's in this? Flash and everyone?
Oh no, not Flash. Oh. Firestorm, the Atom, sort of all the like
all those household names.
Yeah, sort of all the second stringers from the other shows.
Yeah,
they're in this, but it's really good.
Okay,
it's a good show.
Okay,
it's funny. Yeah. It feels a little bit like a sci-fi version of Indiana Jones.
Okay,
which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I guess we sort of,
yeah. Yeah, and so it's sort of all wrapped up in a nice neat bow by the end of the last episode of the season, but sort of leaves some crumbs for
cool.
Because they fucked up time where like their future selves were in the same space as their past selves, and so that caused time to go
basic space time continuum rules.
Yeah, like I mean, have you what was that time cop?
Yeah.
Do you remember Time Cop?
The Jean-Claude Van Damme classic.
Yeah, the bad guy got...
It's amazing.
Like, yeah, wiped from existence because he touched
Bingo
himself.
Silver or whatever his name is. Yeah, Ron Silver?
Yes.
Yeah. Love that movie.
And so by the end of the series, they figure, all right, let's go home. So they went to Los Angeles 2017.
But I bet home's different when they
took
off.
Yes, there's dinosaurs everywhere. There's buildings from different time era periods. So they've broken time.
They're going to have to rebuild it.
Yes.
But they're going to have to do it, like, from scratch.
Yes.
And the technology may be not available.
Yes,
how
exactly.
Are they going to get home?
So, that's... and it has been announced that it has been renewed for a third season, so definitely we'll be seeing that.
Right
I'm
on.
Looking forward to it.
Rock on.
Other than that, I've just been watching episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Cool.
And I finished S-Town.
What'd you think?
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the final episode, or sort of the additional episode that I gave you for homework.
Yeah. Did you listen to that?
Yes.
Okay. I listened to that.
It was almost like there's this other podcast called The Long Form Podcast.
Yeah.
And they sort of like interview someone over a long period about something. They interviewed Brian Reed, who is the creator, sort of, and the voice of S-Town.
While we're on that,
mm-hmm.
Do you know my only problem with Brian Reed?
What?
Whenever he's talking, he sounds like he's just about to start crying. He always starts...
I get that a little bit.
He always sounds like he's
so earnest.
Holding back tears, and I... because he does cry in S-Town when like the big thing happens.
Mm.
But I was like, all the time he sounds like he's literally about to start crying. I'm like, there's something the way his voice trails off, which I get it. He just sounds like every other This American Life, and like he sounds like even how Sarah Keening talks. Like,
I found him to be a better storyteller.
Yeah, I mean it's edited differently. I liked and how they talked about in long form how they were doing things like.
It's edited like it's a novel.
But yeah, but they're also able to do like Tyler's wearing a shirt today, which his mum would go on to tell me means he's going to court.
They usually mean
they jump, but they jump in time and they can do because they've had the benefit of like putting them all out
and
later
editing,
on editing and
I like
and
that
cutting
technique.
In. Yeah, that was very done. I thought the interview was quite good, except it got a bit weird when he had like
I have noticed with a lot of American podcasts, for them to have the great equipment to make the podcast that you do, and also, you know, have a decent website to put it on, they need to sort of sell themselves a bit.
No, I've got no problem with that. Okay. No. But just
I'll
during,
talk about
during
that.
No, during long form. Oh no, ads are part of it. I don't care. Ads are you got to keep the lights on.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're all the same. It's all Casper, and it's all like all the different
Squarespace.
Underwear. Yeah, Squarespace. Which is fine. I don't care about ads.
Mm.
But in the middle of the long form one, Brian Reed gets all slighted that the guy had a go at him for saying, you're an Ivy League person going down south.
Yeah, he got a little bit slighted by that.
And he sort of reared up and he's like, what are you talking about? And it's like, chill out, dude. You're a journo. But he really, like, sort of, I don't know, like, it felt from that point of the interview, they were playing, like, catch up to try, and they were friends, but it sounded like they were trying to, like, I don't know, I just find Brian Reed super sensitive. I'm like, just...
I did find that a bit off, and I did find that it's like...
But it's something like brought up in S-Town.
It's like you and me have come here to talk to do the podcast, but like before we record, we like talk for 5-10 minutes before we set it up, and then we record. But it looked like they just turned up and started recording and not having that catch up.
Yeah, but he just like, but it's issues that got raised in S-Town. Like, I'm from New York, I'm going down south.
Mm.
And so he's like, how did you find that? He's like, what are you talking about? It's like, well, dude, you brought it up.
Mm.
So, like, it was good. I S-Town's interesting, but it's like...
I felt like it was a eulogy.
When you get to the end, yeah. When you get to the end, you're like, okay, some shit happened. Some people did the wrong thing.
Mm.
And is it, like, John B. McAvoy, or whatever his name is a fascinating guy, but... 7 episodes was enough.
Yeah.
Like, and even that was probably padded out. I think, like, the most interesting...
They could have used one less.
Well, the guy they brought in as, like, his former partner or friend slash potential partner was super... I almost wanted to listen to a whole podcast just about their relationship, not the rest. Like, not the hidden treasure and
I would have liked a full episode about him.
Yeah. Like, it felt not enough, but that's the risk. Like, it's not enough of some things, too much of other things.
Yeah.
But yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I enjoyed it. Like, and I might even... I didn't get a chance to go through the rest of long form stuff.
I am. I'm actually going
to
start...
To see who else he has on.
Because I've had a look, and it's got a few guests that I'm kind of keen on.
Yeah.
Like, I think they even interviewed... I think a podcast that you've mentioned to me before about that... that sort of gym... No, not gym person. It's like a... Like a... Not gym person. No, like a... he was on TV and he did all the exercise stuff.
Richard Simmons.
I think he's interviewed the guy from that Richard Simmons.
Missing Richard Simmons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool. Like, it's like they interviewed people about their craft.
Yeah. And not just to sell stuff because, S-Town's already out there.
Yeah.
In the world.
It's not like S-Town makes money anyway.
Well... It does, because there's advertised, like, it's...
Yeah,
but, I got no problem. It's better. It's no different of saying there's a mini-series on TV. Like, it's, you know... I, for reasons unknown, and decided to watch Sandy Wexler, the new Adam Sandler Netflix show.
Yes. This is the one that Netflix sort of came out and said, look... You all watch Adam Sandler stuff.
In the 90s.
So stop fucking complaining.
No, and also, like, this is set in the 90s.
Yeah.
That's when Adam Sandler was amazing. And it's kind of like, yeah, this feels like an Adam Sandler 90s film. And it's not, like...
Is it good?
It's not good, but I don't know. Like,
how many of his contracted films is this now?
I think this is the third. He had Ridiculous 6, The Do-Over, and this one. But this gets everyone in it. Like, it's interesting. He plays a talent agent who's just super weird, and he's got all these different quirks, and he's got a strange voice because it's Sandler.
So he's like almost... What's your favourite director that you take your mum to?
Woody Allen.
Yeah, he's almost like
No, more just like a typical Sandler, like doing like a weird sort of high-pitched Jewish voice. so he ends up, stumbles across Jennifer Hudson,
who's performing in a like an amusement park, and takes her all the way up, and it's all jokes at the music industry's expense in the 90s. And
is it music industry?
Yeah, well, she's, because he's a talent agent for everyone, wrestlers, and it just sort of takes a shot at everything. It's not a particularly good film. It's got a few jokes.
Of all of his Netflix films, it's
the best that I've seen, because I've only seen this in Ridiculous 6. But the thing that gets me is he actually looks interested. Like, Ridiculous 6, everything else, he's like, all right, I'm here, can we get this over and done? We're looking at the clock. This, he's, like, fully invested, and I'm like, yes, this is all we want. We just want Sandler turning up.
Yeah.
Like, and actually wanting to be on screen.
Yeah, exactly.
So, if you, like, I don't know, I was going through, like, this bit of a 90s sort of binge thing, and I was like, this is all it needs to be. Like, there's heaps of jokes for, like, 90s kids.
Okay.
Like, it's maybe a bit too long. It's just over 2 hours. I watched it over 2 days, like, because there's nothing, like, it's fairly disposable.
I do like that about Netflix and Stan. The whole, oh fuck, I gotta go. I forgot. I have to go meet someone for coffee.
But it, yeah,
and
but,
you go leave, and it's actually set where.
Yeah,
was
and this
well.
Stuff is not like this. This is okay. Everyone's gonna say, look, there's so many classic films I've never seen. Why the fuck am I watching Sandy Wexler? I was asking that question while I was watching it, but. There was something just kind of dumb and endearing about it. Like, I was like, all right, man. Okay, it's not... Like, I get you, Sandler.
You took one for the team.
Yeah, but I just...
And you enjoyed it.
Have you ever
it?
Seen Funny People? The Sandler movie?
I think so.
Where he's like a stand-up.
No. Yeah.
That was like... Sandler knows what he's doing. It's not... We're not here in, like, fanboy and girl land going... Oh, Sandler, why are you doing... He's like...
Well, like, Click was a great film.
But he knows exactly what his career is. He knows what he's doing. He can be funny at the drop of the hat. He can, like... He knows when he has to and what he doesn't have to do. So, something like this, when he turns up for it, I'm like, no, I'm in. Like, I think it's like 2.5 out of 5, maybe 3 out of 5. Like, it's not... It's just a... Middle of the road, middle of his career style, shitty comedy, but... All right, I'm in.
Yeah,
like, you're doing us enough.
Excellent.
I've also caught Denial.
Which one's that one?
That's actually directed by the guy who made The Bodyguard, believe it or not, by Mick Jackson. It's Rachel Weisz, based on a true story of a woman who was a historian on and wrote about the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Was sued by a bloke called David Irving, who sued her for defamation in England.
Why?
He's a Holocaust denier.
Yeah.
And he came out and basically sued her because she called him a liar because he was telling false information about the Holocaust, because he wrote books on, like, how Hitler never ordered the Holocaust and all this sort of things. So it just details the court matter. It was her, Tom Wilkinson, and I'll just grab the other.
It's a prickly film to talk to.
Yeah, it was really good though, because there was a little, like, there was enough courtroom drama, there was enough stuff out. Oh, and Timothy Spall, he plays David Irving, and he's lost a shitload of weight for him, because he's usually quite a big guy.
Timothy Spall, which one's Timothy Spall?
He was in the Harry Potter series. He's like that. He's that guy that you sort of. You see him everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
He was in Mr. Turner. He was really well done though. Like, again, because it was in the night. Like, it was all set around the. Like, he sued her in the 90s, and I think it ended early 2000s. The actual case. But yeah, and Tom Wilkins.
I'm assuming he lost the case.
Yeah.
Because it's like.
Because it was looking at more like. The rules in England, like, if she defamed him. And he sued her. She had to prove, on balance, that he did actually intentionally lie to further his cause. So they had to go through historic. So they basically had to prove the Holocaust. But it's not as easy as like because they. It's interesting. There's eyewitnesses who were present at things. They didn't want to call them as witnesses because they don't make for good witnesses. Because it's people get things wrong, even though they are in the camps.
Yeah.
You start cross-examining someone like 60 or 70 years later, they go to bits and they can easily, like...
Exactly.
And go through all that trauma again.
Yeah.
So it was actually sort of quite tricky to navigate from that sense.
Yeah.
And it just made for a really, really interesting little film. Like just a nice sort of Sunday afternoon film, despite the heavy content.
Yeah. Is the content very heavy though?
No, like they go to Auschwitz in it, and it's treated super respectfully.
Okay.
And the film sort of really, while it's there, sort of slows down and just like gets very somber, and it's like, let's just take a moment to respect where we are and what it's about. It's not being like, it's not exploiting Auschwitz. It's not, because it's, you know, it's based on a true story, but it's never. Could have very easily like lingered on the really gruesome details, and it respectfully touches on like the horrors of it.
Okay.
And I also caught Zach Braff's new film, Going in Style.
Yes.
Which is Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman, and Alan Arkin.
You watched that with Quokka.
I did, with a friend of former guest.
Friend of the show. Well,
our thoughts go out to him, who's just recovering from his knee surgery today. But yeah, so it was directed by Zach Braff of Scrubs and Garden State fame.
Oh, yeah, I've been hearing about this, but I'm not.
So it's just it's three elderly men who spent their whole lives working for a like a steel mill or something, and their pensions get cut off because of like global downsizing and sort of chicanery by the company.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, Michael Caine is in a bank robbery, and he's like, oh, I saw how easy it was. Let's go find a lowlife to teach us how to rob a bank. And they go off and rob a bank, and it just goes through their sort of their training and the aftermath, and it's just a nice little heist film.
Okay.
It's really super inoffensive. It looks like Zach Braff wanted to hang out with Michael Caine, Alan Arkin, and Morgan Freeman, and God bless them, if they want to keep making movies together, it's not for me, but the oldies will love it.
Okay.
You know, they're all joking the whole film about how they're close to death, and I'm like, oh, Michael Caine, can you guys stop joking about the whole death thing? Like, it's too real, you're too close.
Exactly.
It's, you know, but yeah, that's it for me this week.
Okay.
A light on week.
All right. Well, we're going to go watch the film.
We are.
And we'll be back in a short while.
See you guys.
And we're back. We've just watched Raw. Sorry, a little bit tired. It's a late session. Yes, we just came back from Raw, a French film.
Directed by Julia Ducanu.
Yeah, Ducanu.
How I'm saying it.
And
you set this one up. You set this.
Okay, how do I set it up? Juliette is played by which actress? Sorry, not prepared for this.
Garance Millier, I don't know. Who knows?
Okay. Garance Millier. I probably mispronounced that, but anyway, she's attending a veterinary school. Her parents are taking her to a veterinary school. Her sister goes there as well. Like, the whole family is vets.
She's a year.
It's her first year.
No, but veterinary. And her sister's 1 or maybe 2 years ahead of her.
Yeah. So yeah.
French film. Did we say French film?
Yes. French film. It's a thriller. And there's a bit of hazing that happens as per university.
What do they call a rush week?
Yeah, rush week. Yeah. Was it really a week?
Well, they call it rush work. Didn't get the sense that it was there for that long. But it's not a case of going Monday, Tuesday, like some places do.
Yeah.
Some films do.
She's like full-on vegetarian. Like, there's Family's vegetarian. Like, there's a scene.
Strict.
Super strict. Like, there was a scene where they were having lunch at some sort of cafe on the way to drop her off, and there was meat accidentally in the girl's food.
Mashed potatoes.
Yeah, and and the mother got very angry about it and went
super
stormed.
Protective. Yeah, super protective. Because they're vegetarians.
Yeah, because they're vegetarians. But yeah, so I don't know.
She then has a series of trials and tribulations.
Trials and tribulations at university. It is part of hazing week. I don't know. She's something happens to her. and like she.
But let's just get into it.
All right, look, let's.
This is a film about cannibalism.
Yeah, it is. It's about cannibalism. Like, look, she's struggling to fit in, so she starts to eat meat. Like,
well, no.
Well, she does.
No, it's part of the hazing thing. All the they're called rookies. All the new.
Yeah, all the rookies, they get them to.
They have to eat. Raw rabbit liver
and a shot of whiskey or something.
And she's never had meat before.
And she's never had meat before, and her sister forces her to have it.
Yeah.
A
little bit maliciously.
Yes. And then it just goes from there. She starts to get sick because she's had meat for the first time.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the doctor that was looking after her, because she's got like hives, said to her, look, just, you know, find a corner and like stay away from everything. But she doesn't do that.
No.
She tries to fit in by, you know, trying meat, raw meat.
Did you?
And then an incident happens.
Did you get a sense that this was
where she tries the flesh of the body?
Yes.
The human body. So, yes. I'm not going to. I don't know, we don't have to spoil it, I guess. We can go into it without kind of spoiling it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, it's all about...
She tries meat for the first time. She tries human for the first time.
Human for the kind.
And then it just goes craving for it.
Yeah, it has a craving for it. And, yeah, it just sort of escalates from there, and it's sort of, like, it's weird, it's like a thriller, it's coming-of-age story, because, like, you know, starting uni, everything's, like... When you were at uni, like the first week and everything's like new and whatnot.
It's scary at the same time.
Yeah, it's scary at the same time.
And you feel like you're not one of the cool kids.
Yeah, and then you're also like trying all these new things. It's interesting.
Did you take the eating of meat as a, was it a sex thing? Is it like, not, and now like a metaphor for sort of sexual awakening at uni? Because she goes as a virgin.
Yeah, she's there as a virgin. She has sex for the first time as well.
She starts lusting.
Yeah.
Or like going for meat and starts seeing people as meat. Literally.
Yeah, I feel like it is a little bit like that.
But then did it also...
Craving the other flesh.
Yeah, but did you get a sense that it was almost...
Sexual,
Yeah, but also a stand-in for sort of rape culture in unis? Because there was this sort of taking people against their will and abusing and sort of like... There's a... I don't know, it touched on that sort of culture.
It
as
did
well.
A little bit.
Like there were guys just sort of like sizing... You know, women were seen as meat. Like early on in the, there's, I don't know. I just got a sense. Was it trying to play around with those that kind of messaging as well? Because
I like that the writer and director of it is female. So it feels like what's that? Like, not trying to say like, you know, oh, it's a female film, but it does feel like
female perspective.
A female perspective, which is great.
Well, and I guess it's centered around a young woman.
Girl,
but. Yeah, it sort of really captures that sort of the anxiety of trying to fit in, and because she's super bright as well, to the point that she's almost picked on by her teachers for like going, "You're too bright. I would prefer it if you weren't here and you just stop intimidating the other." So she's
intimidating the other students. Like, there comes a point where her sort of, I guess, best friend.
Yeah.
I mean, her only friend.
Yeah.
Which is her roommate.
Yeah.
The professor pulls her up on the fact that, you know. His answers are similar to yours. Can you just say you cheated?
Yeah.
Because he's not that bright and he has to fight to be here, whereas you're super smart. And she was like, no.
There's a fair bit of controversy about this film. People like in the advertising saying sick bags were handed out in case people threw up. I'd have a word of warning for anyone who's like sympathetic, like a sympathetic vomiter.
Yeah.
Like anyone who doesn't, like there's scenes where like she's pulling the hair out of her mouth.
Oh, yeah, look, she vomits up hair because she's been biting her
hair.
And then
keeps pulling it.
I'm not going to do about that, but it's like...
There's like a meter of hair.
Just imagine the ring.
Yeah,
that bit where she pulls the...
But I was like...
I was dry reach. Okay, I hadn't had dinner. Stu has had dinner before this.
Stu had
steak and chips, hollandaise sauce and veggies.
Yeah.
I had a packet of burger rings.
Yeah.
And I was like...
I was swimming nicely.
Yes, so...
What do you think of the way it was shot? Was it not that sort of...
It felt...
very
as
raw.
Very raw.
Yeah. No, I think that's... like it's.
No, it is. Yeah, it is. It felt very... it reminded me of
38 Days Later.
Okay, yeah, that handheld aesthetic sort of thing.
Well, no, not the handheld, more than like, okay, so you notice it, like you notice it in TV and movies as well. The quality of film is different around the world.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
Like the grainy sort of quality of
it. Yeah, but I feel like Europe as a whole, they use, I don't know, this might be just me generalizing, but it feels like Europe as a whole uses a certain type of film quality. Okay,
yeah. And the light, it
didn't, I mean, I've been to France, it didn't feel like sort of main area of France. It felt like, you know,
rural. Yeah.
And it was very like cold. The fact that it was cold, like added to that whole, you know, when you're in a thriller, you're watching a thriller film, and you know there's a scary moment, and you know there's the fog from someone's mouth because it's so cold. There's that element in it as well, which is kind of I like.
Very interesting how they sort of like they took the actual meat prop, like whenever people were eating. Like food in this, like meat. Mm. The meat was in the first couple of scenes we ever see meat looks so unappealing.
Oh, yes.
Compared to
later
the
on.
Flesh at the end when it's like this bright red. It's bloody and gross, but you sit there going,
surprisingly,
it kind of looks tasty.
There wasn't a lot of like, there was a lot of blood, but it wasn't like the squirting everywhere blood. Mm. It was more like a slightly oozing.
Seeping.
I'm
still trying to wrestle with, like, because there's things that happen when she's on these sort of like meat craving. She gets very drunk and blacks out, and she gets up to sort of crazy shit when she's drunk.
Yeah.
But you get, again, is that trying to comment on what we do, like young girls feeling like they need to fit in and doing dumb shit? Because she's extremely bright, but she's feeling pressured to do dumb shit.
Well,
when
that's the thing. I feel like she's trying to fit in, and she's tried this meat thing, but then she feels shit about it, and then she just acts out or doesn't want to do it. And it's like that whole thing. It's like, you know, fucking when I was okay. Here's an example, not to throw it back to me. When I was younger,
it's our podcast. Make it about you or your life.
Well, when I was younger, like I used to get. I knew I was gay, but I didn't admit it to myself. And, you know, I would not drink the pain away, but, like, I would go on these benders just because I didn't want to admit to myself with my friends. Yeah. And you do stupid things. Like, I can count on, like, two hands, like, at least the amount of times I've done that whole blanking out thing.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, maybe four or five times in my entire life, and that's, like... That's part of that stupid
And that takes
whole...
you. That takes you two hands to count? What are you doing? Two fingers on each?
Yeah, two fingers on each. Fuck you. No, but like... Yeah, it's just... I think that is that whole... Sort of like trying to not accept something that in your core you know is real.
Yeah.
Which is what she wasn't trying to do.
Can I tell you, for all the crazy shit that happens in this film, there was only one thing that I didn't believe. Can you try and guess it? What was the most unbelievable thing in this whole film? The dude jerking off to gay porn would leave his underwear on while he jerked off.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What are we doing here?
Yeah,
we can show it. What are we doing?
And come on, like, come really? On. Yeah. It wasn't even that hard. Like,
no,
come on.
We're watching gay porn here.
Yeah, and it was pretty shit gay
porn. What are we doing?
Come on. Look.
You get a neon demon kind of feel at times in this.
Yes, like, it's almost like...
The end 15 minutes, the final 15 minutes.
So it was like neon demon, but through a 28 days filming filter almost.
I mean, it's old school because of the uni stuff.
So it is a French film, so it's French language, so it is subtitled.
Yeah.
But... I did have a critique about the subtitle. I think because of the fact that it's so, like, you know, during the days when it's that steely blue, like that still greyly blue. Sometimes when it was
losing focus on them, or
with the subtitles because they're in white.
Yeah, and it was very like white on white backgrounds.
Yeah,
for
I'm
a
surprised
lot.
They didn't do the act like because I've seen in subtitles. I prefer like yellow.
Yeah. But that one might go against the aesthetic of the film. Maybe they want that cold. I always found And you know, French, a lot of French films, they speak quite quickly. They were,
it wasn't
very
that
short, sharp. They were very short, sharp subtitles, like bam, bang, bam, bang. Which is fine. I mean, it's, subtitles.
They're very passionate people. When they're passionate, they speak fire very fast.
Yeah, but I really like this film.
I did too. I highly recommend it.
For all its great, like, I kept going, all right, when are we going off to Crazy Town? And we didn't really go to Crazy Town.
It was like a slight detour into Crazy Town. Yeah, but it wasn't. And then still drove into Crazy Town.
Yeah, but it wasn't like.
But it wasn't like it, Crazy Town.
No, but it never went. Sort of never went into anything really unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. And from what I thought about the whole giving out sick bags thing. I mean, look.
But that's marketing.
If you're a queasy person, I get it. But
I can definitely see how this would affect any people would sort of.
There were some people that walked out for a few minutes.
Yeah, and anyone would sort of, obviously, with body horror.
I wouldn't. My friend of the podcast, Andrew Shaw.
Yeah.
He's vegetarian. He loves thrill and horror. I probably wouldn't suggest this to him. I mean, I will tell it to him, this is what it's about, but he might not enjoy it because it's, you know...
Another point I like...
They're vegan, so it's like...
This, early on in this film, they're having a debate about AIDS and the monkey thing, and someone saying... I think she brings up, the main girl brings up, if you rape her...
An animal.
A monkey.
Yeah.
And someone says, what's, like, are you telling me it's the same thing, raping a human, raping a monkey? And she's like, yeah, pretty much. And it's interesting where we blur the line between...
Do animals have sort of conscious...
No, just
thought,
like,
type thing.
The way we're happy to, like, tonight, I happily ate a steak.
Mm.
But then you see flesh getting eaten and this, and all of a sudden we're like, we know it's wrong because it's... We know human on human is not right. But it's funny how we're like, oh, what? You're eating meat. But if I was to bite into a raw piece of, like, cow, it's suddenly not as... I get it. But there's interesting stuff when people look at, like, the cannibalism, how it does apparently, like, send people nuts. Yeah. And, like, you know, it's just interesting how that sort of reinforced the craziness in this.
Yeah, near the end.
Yeah, like, because it really, like, you kind of got a sense at some stages, like, was it a dream? Was it not a dream?
It's almost like you know, I mean, people take all sorts of illicit drugs while, you know, uni and whatnot and everything. It's almost like the cannibalism was the drug.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, it's, yeah, that sort of culture, sex culture, like having sex for the first time or sexual awakening, all those sort of trying things or getting influenced and then getting... And it's... I thought they really did the relationship with their older sister quite well. Like, it's that kind of... You're friends, but there's rivalry, but there's compassion. There's
exactly.
Like, you have those moments where you just... And I really got the sense that those two bonded quite well as those sort of sisters. I love the way they did the fever dreams when she was sort of under her bed sheets and sort of freaking out like she was coming down with heroin or something.
Yeah,
and
it was so what a fever dream would look like.
And it's awesome. Like, and then
it's there's so many, like... And I think the director, this is her first film.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh. The other thing was weird was there wasn't a lot of... Seemingly not a lot of consequences for all the shit she was doing. Like, she bit some guy's lip at one stage.
Yeah.
We never got a sense that, like, did it get reported to, like, security or
police? Like, what happened in that?
And the beginning act, the film starts with a car accident.
Yeah.
Opening scene, car accident.
Was that
the sister?
I feel like that's explained later. And
yeah,
You're trying to get it in your head that that's...
She was surviving. I don't know. This is like one of those really hard films to recommend.
I would.
Yeah.
It's not a date film. Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's...
Don't eat dinner beforehand.
Don't eat a big steak. A big juicy steak.
Yeah.
Actually, I got a hankering for another steak.
Well, I'm off to go have dinner with my partner.
Wow.
We're going to eat chicken.
Not bad. Yes. Not bad at all.
All right. Well,
I've got to give you homework.
Yes, you do.
But I'm going to take a page out of your book, and I'm going to get back to you on it.
That's fine.
Well, actually, might have to be a homework-free week.
Right.
Because there's not a lot of time before our next show.
Show is next Thursday.
Yeah, I know, but we've got Guardians on Monday.
Lay it on me. If it's on Netflix, make it on Netflix or Stan, and I will have it.
But for our next show, we're doing a double show, hopefully. Guardians and...
Oh, yeah. And, look,
and
we'll,
Free Fire.
Okay, so...
Ben Wheatley's Free Fire.
Because, so for everyone... Guardians isn't released on Thursday. It is released on a Tuesday.
Yep.
So next Tuesday, because of Anzac Day.
Yep.
Yeah, with sneak previews on Monday. I am going to a sneak preview with my partner. Stu's going to sneak previews on Monday as well.
And then we'll catch Ben Wheatley's Free Fire next week.
Hopefully next week. So that means we'll be talking about two films.
Yeah, so you may get a homework free week.
I don't know, maybe.
All right. Whoa, whoa. Yes. Wait, whoa.
Yes.
Score.
Oh, 4.
Yeah, I'm a four as well. Yeah, I'm a 4 as well.
Out of 5.
Four out of 5. But I started to drift.
Near the end.
And I was like, where are we going with this? Like,
I felt like it could have shaved off about maybe 15, 20 in the middle. It's not, and have a better ending.
It's not long. I just felt we sort of treaded water for a bit.
Yeah.
Like once they established the cravings and that they needed to be satisfied, we weren't really going anything further. But I know it became more about her and her sister, but it just took a while to get there.
Yes.
So, but yeah, 4 as well.
Excellent. All right. All right. Well, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.